15 minutes after 4 o'clock on a Thursday downtown program. Closing in on opening day of Major League Baseball. And to get some insight into that, we are joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks. Good afternoon.
Great to have you back on with us. You were in a heated battle here in our Downtown Madness, the Elite Eight. You and Dan Shulman going toe-to-toe, and it's a battle royale.
I can't even believe I got this far. I'm very flattered that your listeners and readers and whatnot chose me over some of the people that they did. So, you know, whatever happens with this, I'm pretty happy that your listeners are tuning in to me.
Absolutely. They, like us, they love what you do. Let's talk a little Red Sox right here, because they're making some news out of Florida this afternoon with the word, the official word from John Farrell, that they'll be going with Travis Shaw as the starting third baseman. Clearly a situation here where John Farrell doesn't think about the money. He thinks about job security and needs to get out of the gate with a good start.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you look at the fact that the Red Sox have finished in last place in the AL East in each of the last 2 years and have changed general managers in the process, or club presidents, if whatever executive level you will, regimes, more to the point. Managers don't usually survive those types of things without an improvement of results. So for Farrell, the job is to win, and if he's got to bench Pablo Sandoval and Rusney Castillo to do so, well, then that's what he's going to do. Sandoval showed up to camp looking as out of shape as ever. His defense drew comment early on. He missed some time with a back problem as well, which kind of, again, points to his lax conditioning. Meanwhile, Travis Shaw came in and had a great camp and was always going to be somebody who they looked to as an important piece of the Red Sox, given that he's sort of the backup for Hanley Ramirez at first base, too. But I don't think many people saw him actually stealing a starting job.
Well, of course, up here, people hoping that the Red Sox certainly can be better than last year, maybe one of those surprise teams. Last year was not a great year for prognosticators, teams that were many that were expected to do well, disappointed, and then others came out and surprised people. Is Kansas City still the team to beat in the American League, and who are the biggest challenges to their dominance?
Well, yeah, I would say right now Kansas City is the team to beat. I mean, two-time defending AL champions and defending world champions. That's that's pretty impressive there, even for all the fact that very few people picked them last year, including myself. I think that it's a wide open race in the American League. There's no one team that stands out as the powerhouse. I picked the Astros as the World Series team. I picked them to win the AL West. I have the Royals in the AL Central. And the Blue Jays in the AL East with the Red Sox, and who is my other wild card pick? These just went up at SportsIllustrated.com, our experts' picks. Oh, the Rangers and the Red Sox as my wild card picks there. So not too dissimilar a picture from last year, except in some of the ordering, but I do see the Red Sox squeezing in there, and I think that the Royals are a stronger bet than they were last year. The one surprise team I can see crashing the party, I mean, the Yankees are maybe not too big a surprise, but they're kind of right on the fringes there. But the Twins are another team that I think could be a surprise. I think if things go right for them with guys like Byron Buxton and Byung-ho Park and with the turnaround of Joe Mauer, they could challenge in the AL Central.
Jay, with the rebuild model that the Astros shown being successful for them and being the new template for teams that are looking to rebuild like the Reds and the Braves and the Brewers, who's the furthest along now that spring is just about in the books from clearing the decks and starting to rebuild their house of cards?
Well, you know, people, people really do think highly of some of the prospects that the Phillies have acquired and how quickly they've rebuilt their system. I don't know that any of them is really ready to challenge. I mean, I know a lot of people think that the Diamondbacks, who kind of went into a rebuild last year, are close to contending again with those big additions like Zach Greinke and Shelby Miller. A lot of people throughout baseball are very impressed with the Braves farm system, but they're at least a couple years away, and they've always been explicit about that because they're looking to their new ballpark. So I don't know if any team is ready to snatch the rebuilding mantle from the Astros yet, and rise up this year. We do seem to have a lot of those teams in the National League right now kind of waiting it out. I think you can classify five of them as in that category, including also the Reds and the Rockies.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated. The Mets still have all that talented young pitching. Who do you have as your playoff teams in the National League?
In the National League, I see the Mets as the clear favorites in the NL East. I don't think that the Nationals did enough to really close the gap right now with that quality rotation that New York has. In the Central, I think that the Cubs are the team to beat. They're actually my World Series champion pick, which is obviously a bold prediction given they haven't won since 1908. I see them with the Cardinals as a wild card team. I see the Dodgers as the National League West champions with the Giants as a wild card team. I kind of agonized over the Pirates and Giants as to which team I would choose for the second wild card spot. But in the end, I went with that even year devil magic that the Giants have been able to wrestle up over the last few years. And I think they actually had a pretty strong offseason, adding Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija and Denard Span.
Jay, we've talked with you about this great level of young talent in Major League Baseball. There are a couple of guys out there on your radar this year that are ready to take that next step and become full-fledged stars.
Well, Carlos Correa, who was last year's AL Rookie of the Year, is my pick for AL MVP. Seeing a full season of him and Francisco Lindor is certainly going to be an impressive thing to see. As for new rookies, I think Corey Seager is my pick in the National League. He looked great late in the year, coming up and stealing Jimmy Rollins' job as the Dodgers' shortstop. He's somebody I look to be a star in short order here. I'm maybe a little bit less sure about Byron Buxton in the American League, but his defense is certainly going to earn him a spot in the lineup until he figures it out against American League pitching here. He made some impressive plays today here, from what I understand via Twitter.
Jay, with no charges being filed in the Jose Reyes situation, what, if any, punishment do you think MLB will hand down? Will it be like Aroldis Chapman, or will it be something different?
Well, charges were filed. They were just withdrawn. The case was withdrawn. So, this did actually go further than the Chapman case, although there was not a gun involved in this account. But I think we can expect to see a substantial suspension. I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually longer than Chapman, given the fact that there were actually legal proceedings and that it was slated to go to trial until Reyes' wife decided she didn't want to air all that laundry publicly. So, I think that we'll see something from Rob Manfred. I would expect maybe something on the order of 40 games, maybe more. But I don't think it's going to be quite as long as it would have been had it gone to trial and had he been found with a legal violation.
You've done so much great work on analytics as far as people's qualifications for the Baseball Hall of Fame, with A-Rod announcing an end of the line after next season. Is he a Hall of Famer in your eye?
Well, statistically, I think, those numbers are numbers that would obviously be Hall of Fame numbers if the story were that simple. I think, though, with the unprecedented suspension full year for performance-enhancing drugs, it's going to be a tall order for him to get the support that he needs. You look back at the fact that Mark McGwire fell off the ballot with having never been disciplined by Major League Baseball, and that Barry Bonds, the all-time home run leader, can't seem to get even little more than halfway there in votes. I don't see A-Rod as being a guy who's going to get there easily anytime soon. I'm never going to say never, because I do think that the shifting electorate is going to have an effect down the road, and I would include myself in that. But, I think that it'll be a long time before he's in the Hall of Fame.
Jay, have you got a timeline on the publication of the Cooperstown casebook?
Well, I'm still scrambling to finish up the manuscript, so we're hoping that this comes out sometime next spring. I don't have a date yet. Going to be hopefully hashing that stuff out over the next several weeks here, and when I do, it'll be. I will make sure that everybody who's important to me knows. So you'll learn of it.
Awesome. And as always, have you got a good beer recommendation for us?
I had a great stout last night. This is from a Bronx brewery called Gun Hill, which I haven't paid a visit to yet, although I'm supposed to pair that with a trip to Yankee Stadium at some point this season. It's their Void of Light Stout, and it's actually, they're now canning it, and I had it in a can for the first time. It's a little bit on the sweeter side, really nice blend of chocolate and other complex flavors. I got raisin in there, a little bit of coffee in there, just a really nice stout. one I look forward to picking up more often here.
Mm, my wife is going to New York this weekend. I think I have a mission for her now.
I can tell you where to get it. Try Top Hops down in on Orchard Street. They have it in cans there.
I love it. Now, before we let you go, would this go well with the picture you posted on Twitter earlier and referred to as the Grand Slam of Sadness on a Bun?
I wouldn't. There's just no food in Yankee Stadium that I can recommend pairing with a good beer. I think you just got to grin and bear it there and hope to get better food and beer when you're outside the ballpark.
I think that's a good plan. Jay, as always, great talking with you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to chatting with you throughout the baseball season.
Hey, sure thing. Thanks a lot, guys.
Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated, SI.com.